Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're your shortcut to getting genuinely informed on topics that, well, sometimes they can seem a bit complicated at first glance.
Yeah, definitely.
Today, we're diving into something really key for understanding how communities like Shawnee grow and change. Tax increment financing. You might hear it called TIF.
That's right, TIF.
It sounds technical, maybe a bit dry, but stick with us. This deep dive is all about understanding how big projects get funded using public money, but often without new taxes hitting your wallet directly.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to give you a clear picture using actual city documents, real data, real research from Shawnee.
Exactly. And our mission here is really to, you know, demystify TIF for you. We'll break down the mechanics, how it actually works.
Nuts and bolts.
Yeah, the nuts and bolts. We'll trace the journey of Shawnee's main TIF districts, the downtown one and the industrial park one, see how they evolved. And then, crucially, we'll look at how they've actually performed. What's the real impact? By the end, you should have a much clearer sense of, well, how these projects get off the ground and what they really mean for the community.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah.
Let's unpack this then. What exactly is tax increment financing, TIF?
Right. So at its core, TIF is a tool cities use to fund development, usually in specific areas that need a boost. The key idea is capturing the new property tax money that growth generates.
New money, so not raising existing taxes.
Correct. It's not a new tax rate on everyone. It works like this. You designate a specific area, say a part of town that's a bit rundown.
Okay.
The city then looks at the current total property value in that district. That value gets frozen for TIF purposes. That's your base year valuation.
Frozen. Got it. Like a snapshot in time.
Exactly. For Shawnee's downtown TIF, for instance, that base value was set at about $35 million back in 2016. The regular property taxes generated by that $35 million, they still go where they always went, the city's general fund, the schools, the county, etc.
Okay, so the original tax money keeps flowing as usual. But what happens when development happens and property values go up in that district?
Ah, that's the increment. The increment is the difference. It's the tax revenue generated purely from the increase in property value above that frozen base.
So in your example, if the value jumps from $35 million to, say, $50 million.
Right. The property tax is collected on that extra $15 million in value. That's the increment.
And where does that increment money go? Does it just mix in with everything else?
No. And this is critical. That increment money goes into a separate, dedicated TIF fund. Think of it like a lockbox or a special account just for that district.
Or earmarked.
Precisely. It's legally segregated. That money can only be used for approved projects within the boundaries of that TIF district. It can't suddenly be used for, I don't know, paving roads on the other side of town.
That seems important for accountability. But projects cost a lot up front. How do they pay for, say, new infrastructure before the property values have fully gone up?
Good question. That's where bonding comes into play. The city can issue bonds, essentially borrow money based on the anticipated future TIF increment revenues.
Ah, okay. So they get cash now based on expected future growth.
Exactly. It allows them to kickstart those big projects, sewers, streets, site prep, whatever's needed, with the plan being that the incoming TIF revenues over the years will pay back those bonds.
Like with Shawnee's KIFs, do they use bonding?
They did. The downtown TIF had authorization for up to $1 million in bonds, and the new industrial park TIF was authorized for up to $2 million. It gives them that upfront financial muscle.
Okay, conceptually, I can see the appeal. Sparking development, using the growth itself to pay for it, no new general tax hikes. Sounds pretty good.
It definitely has its pros. Targeted reinvestment is a big one. It can really focus resources on areas that wouldn't otherwise attract development. And it often acts as a catalyst, you know. Public investment often encourages private developers to jump into.
Right. It signals commitment. But what are the potential downsides? The risks?
Well, the biggest risk often lies in the projections. What if the expected growth doesn't quite materialize as fast or as much?
Uh-oh. Then you might struggle to pay back those bonds.
Potentially, yes. Over-optimistic forecasting is a known hazard. There's also the perception issue. Some people might argue that even though it's new revenue, it's still money that could have eventually gone to the general fund for broader city services, even if the growth wouldn't have happened without the TIF.
That's a common debate, I imagine.
Yeah.
The but-for argument, would this growth have happened anyway?
Exactly. And finally, taking on debt through bonds always carries risk. It needs careful management over the long term.
Okay, that gives us a really solid foundation on what TIF is, the pros, the cons. Now let's get specific. Let's dig into Shawnee's experience. You mentioned two main TIF districts.
That's right. The downtown TIF district and the industrial park TIF district. Two very different areas with different goals.
Let's start downtown. What was the situation there and how did the TIF come about?
Okay, downtown Shawnee. Picture it a few years back. Like many downtowns, maybe needing a bit of a spark, some revitalization. The downtown TIF was officially established in June 2017.
Okay, 2017.
It's NCS 2017-06, if you want the specifics. It was set up with a 20-year lifespan. Remember that base year was 2016. And it had that $1 million bonding capacity we talked about. The goal was clearly revitalization.
And was there public discussion around this? How did the community weigh in early on?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There were key moments. For instance, in December 2017, they held a public hearing about expanding the district's boundaries slightly.
Okay.
Eight citizens actually came and testified, shared their views on the potential impacts. That's important. It shows the process was happening legally sound. The ordinance for that expansion, 2017-35, passed unanimously.
So procedural checks were in place. Yeah. Any other key moments early on?
Yes, definitely. Fast forward to September 2018, there was another hearing. The planning staff reported the TIF fund was doing pretty well, had about $820,000 in it already.
Wow, that early.
Yeah. And that prompted more public input. Five speakers came up asking for more transparency, more details on how the money was being used.
Okay, so a demand for clarity. How did the city respond?
They listened. The council passed Resolution 2018-R15. It wasn't unanimous, 5-2 vote, but it did two key things. It increased the amount available for things like facade improvement grants, and it formalized quarterly reporting on the TIF's finances.
Ah, so direct response to public feedback. That shows some adaptability.
Exactly. It shows the governance process working, adapting. Early activities funded by the TIF included things like getting engineering proposals back in July 2017 and setting up those facade grants we just mentioned, things to get the ball rolling.
So it sounds like a decent start, engaging the public, setting up reporting, but, you know, the proof is in the pudding. How did the downtown TIF actually perform financially over time? Did that early promise hold up?
Financially, it seems quite solid. Looking at the data up to FY 2023, those increment revenues, the new money coming in, they grew steadily. Started around $130,000 in the first year or so and climbed up to $200,000 annually by 2023.
Okay, so consistent growth. That's a good sign.
It is. It shows property values were increasing in the district, generating the funds as planned. And remember that $820,000 balance they hit early in FY 2018, that gave them breathing room. They ended up issuing $600,000 in bonds in 2019.
Out of the $1 million authorized.
Right. And importantly, the projected coverage for those bonds, the ratio of expected TIF income to the bond payments, was greater than 1.3 times. That's healthy. It means they expected about 30% more revenue than needed, a good safety margin.
Okay, financially sound. What about physically? What did we actually see downtown funded by this TIF money?
We saw tangible improvements. Around $400,000 went into streetscape projects. Think new sidewalks, better lighting, landscaping things that make the area more attractive and walkable.
Yeah, those things make a difference.
Definitely. And another $250,000 went into those facade grants, helping businesses spruce up their storefronts, improve the look of the buildings.
And the impact. Beyond the physical changes.
The reported impacts are pretty positive. A 15% increase in occupancy rates downtown, fewer empty storefronts. And they tracked about $2.5 million in related private investment flowing into the area.
So the TIF money leveraged private money.
Seems like it. Plus a really nice historical preservation aspect.
Sure.
12 historic landmarks in the district were restored. And importantly, this involved a one-to-one match. Private owners put in a dollar for every TIF dollar.
That's great buy-in. Really shows a partnership.
It does. It suggests the TIF wasn't just a government program, but something the community and property owners actively participated in. You feel it, you know? More activity, restored buildings, that renewed energy downtown.
That's a compelling story for the downtown TIF. Now let's switch gears to the other one, the Industrial Park TIF District. Sounds like a totally different beast.
It really is. Different location, different scale, different goals. This one was created much more recently, October 2022, Ordinance CS 2022-10.
Okay, 2022. And bigger scale.
Much bigger area, about 150 acres, and a longer term, 25 years. Its base year was set at 2021, and it had that larger $2 million financing authorization. The focus here isn't revitalizing old buildings. It's about attracting new industry, creating jobs.
So more about new construction, new infrastructure for businesses.
Exactly. Building an economic engine, essentially.
What were the first steps for this industrial park, Tiff? Any public input early on?
Yes. Similar process. In January 2023, there was a required public hearing. Four speakers came forward, raising points mostly about infrastructure needs and access to the proposed park practical considerations.
Makes sense for an industrial area.
Right. The commission listened, made some minor tweaks to the maps based on the feedback, and approved the ordinance, again, following the statutory process, ensuring things are done correctly. A more recent milestone was getting the utility plan approved just this past June 2024. That's huge. You need utilities before businesses can build.
Absolutely critical. What about the finances? It's newer, so maybe not as much happening yet.
It's definitely early days financially. The initial increment capture, the first bit of new revenue for the 2022-2023 period, was around $48,000. Projections estimate it could reach maybe $75,000 by 2025, so it's just starting to ramp up.
Still small numbers, but expected for a new district like this.
Yes, completely expected. It takes time for development to occur and values to rise. So far, the main expenditure has been about $100,000 for industrial design studies, basically planning and groundwork for what's to come.
Okay, so laying the foundation. Has there been any tangible impact yet, even this early? New businesses, jobs?
Actually, yes, which is quite encouraging for such a young TIF. The city reports that the effort has already resulted in two new tenants committing to the industrial park.
Oh, wow. Already?
Yeah. And those two new businesses are projected to create about 45 new jobs.
45 jobs already. That's pretty significant.
It is. It shows that even the promise of the TIF and the initial infrastructure planning can start attracting investment quickly. That's exactly what this kind of economic development TIF aims to achieve.
That's fascinating to see the contrast between the two. So looking at both, what can we say about Shawnee's approach to transparency and accountability with these TIFs? Are they doing a good job letting people know what's going on?
You know, they seem to have made some pretty significant efforts, especially more recently. One big thing is an interactive dashboard they launched online.
Oh, like a website?
Yeah, at shawneeoc.org.org. It supposedly provides real-time tracking of the TIF funds, grant statuses, that sort of thing. That's a big step beyond just static PDF reports. Makes the information much more accessible.
That does sound useful.
Mm.
What else?
Well, the detailed financial schedules for the TIFs are also included in the city's main annual financial report, the CAFR. They're usually listed under non-major funds, but they are there, part of the official public record.
So the data is out there if you know where to look. You mentioned an audit earlier, too.
Right. That Deloitte audit back related to CS 2019-06, that's important. Having a third party come in and review the books adds a layer of credibility. They confirmed the funds were being handled properly, but also, importantly, they made some recommendations for refinement.
And did Shawnee act on those recommendations?
It appears so, yes. Which suggests they weren't just checking a box with the audit, but actually using it to improve their processes. That's key.
Any other mechanisms for oversight or input?
Yeah. There's also an advisory committee specifically for TIF. Since 2020, they've been holding quarterly public meetings, and they publish the minutes. So there's an ongoing forum for discussion and public scrutiny.
Okay, dashboard, annual reports, audit advisory committee. Sounds like a multi-pronged approach. How is this all landing with the public? Do people in Shawnee generally support these TIF projects?
There was a resident survey done in 2023 that touched on this. The results were pretty positive, actually. About 72% of respondents approved of the TIF projects.
72%, that's quite high.
It is. Only 10% were opposed and 18% were neutral or unsure. It suggests that, by and large, the community sees the benefits and perhaps trusts the process, likely thanks to some of these transparency measures.
How does Shawnee's approach compare to what other places do? Are there other best practices out there?
Yeah, looking around, you see different approaches. For example, a place like Moore Park, Oklahoma, apparently issues TIF briefings twice a year, keeping the public consistently updated. They also tend to use shorter-term bonds, like 10 years, which can reduce long-term financial risk compared to, say, 20 or 25-year bonds.
Interesting. Any other innovative ideas floating around?
Well, on the cutting edge, some places are looking at integrating TIF districts with federal opportunity zones to stack incentives and attract even more investment. And there's talk about things like digital tax receipt tracking, giving citizens almost real-time visibility into exactly how TIF money is spent. Super transparent.
Well, okay. So based on Shawnee's experience and these broader best practices, if you were advising a city on using TIF, What would be your key takeaways, your main recommendations?
Okay, four main things come to mind. First, be conservative with your forecasts. Projecting future property values is tricky. It's generally safer to slightly underestimate growth than overestimate it.
Yeah.
And maybe formally update those base valuations every, say, 5 years to keep projections grounded in reality.
Right. Underpromise and overdeliver, basically.
Sort of, yeah. Second, embrace dynamic reporting. Static annual reports are necessary, but things like Shawnee's online dashboard with real-time data and maybe even drill-down capabilities, that's the gold standard for transparency and building trust. Keep it current.
Makes sense. What else?
Third, broaden stakeholder inclusion. That advisory committee is good, but think even wider. Could you include representatives from different community groups? Maybe someone from neighborhood associations or even, say, youth sports leagues who use city facilities. Get diverse perspectives on community needs and priorities.
Get more voices in the room. Good point. And the last one.
Fourth, plan for the sunset. TIF districts have expiration dates 20 years, 25 years. Don't wait until the last minute. Start planning the wind down process at least 2 years before it expires. How will projects be completed? What happens to any remaining funds? How will the tax revenue transition back to the normal system? Smooth transitions require planning.
Conservative forecasts, dynamic reporting, broader inclusion, and sunset planning.
Got it. That seems like really practical advice. Well, we have certainly covered a lot of ground today. We went from the basics of tax increment financing all the way through Shawnee's specific experiences with its downtown and industrial park districts.
It really highlights how a, you know, seemingly complex financial tool can actually translate into very real, tangible changes in a community. Revitalize streets, new businesses, new jobs.
Absolutely.
And hopefully, understanding these mechanics even just a bit better helps you, our listener, feel more empowered, more knowledgeable about how your own community grows and how public investment works to shape its future.
Definitely. And maybe it leaves you with a final thought to chew on, something to consider. How do these dedicated TIF funds, focused on specific districts, coexist and interact with the city's overall budget, the general fund that pays for police, fire, parks all over town?
Ah, that's a good question. The balancing act.
Exactly. How do cities ensure these powerful tools for targeted development also align with broader community priorities? It's something worth thinking about and maybe even prompting you to look into how TIF or similar tools are being used right where you live. The information is often out there in public records if you know where to look.